Our gracious God, the entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. May you, O God, please speak to us even now and help us not only to be hearers and speakers of your word, but to be doers. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I would like to continue our discussion on the family. It has been said that the family is the bedrock of society and can be proven by the fact that although there are different shapes and sizes across the world, we find this structure almost in every part of the world. Today, it is becoming increasingly fashionable for people to trace their family trees. And technology is helping us to do that. And one of the things, again, I particularly had when we had my dad with us 11 months before we left for Kaluk, was that I was able to speak directly with him, and I was able to have a little sense of family. And it was interesting because there was somebody that I had always admired as a senior friend. I had always admired him and respected him so much. And he had always made efforts to ask how I was doing. And around that time, too, the family was returning from a travel, and their car broke down. And he had called me to ask if I could help. So I drove off at that night to go and help them and then brought them to our house. So it was after I had spoken with my dad that I realized that that man actually was a very close member of my dad's extended family. And then I now spoke with him and said, "Did you ever realize that there was this kind of relationship?" He said, "Yes, I do." You know, so people make so much effort now to reconnect with family, and a lot of people are going out there traveling, some travel to different places, maybe to go through the baptismal rule book to find out, you know, the connections they have with people in different parts of the world. So family unit is a community of persons where moral values are taught and the spiritual and cultural heritage of society are passed on. The family is also essential in ensuring that people are strong in their commitment and promote both social responsibility and solidarity. Family comes in all shapes and sizes. And family is a precious gift from God. But it comes, again, like every other thing, with many challenges. Could I invite you to take a moment to think about the people who are in your closest family, the people you've met in your journey of life, the people who have cared or who care about you and who love you. It is often said that when we do our writing, we usually have our first draft before you now polish it, before you present or you submit it. The family is where our rough drafts, our first drafts, are read and are heard. And yet people stand around us and they don't give up on us. As we reflect on the third saying of Jesus, as he hung on the cross, we see an undeniable presence of family and friends. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said unto his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his house. Maybe this could go without saying. Family matters. Family counts. Family means something. Mary stands at the cross with two other women and John the Apostle. She watched as they beat her firstborn son. She heard with the ear of her mother the cries of agony as her son was tortured to death. She watched as they walked by and slapped him and beat him and cursed him. She couldn't lift a finger to help him. Those who have watched a loved one die will perhaps begin to understand what it means for Mary to be at the cross that day. As the hours pass and the agony increases, she looks at her son, beaten almost beyond recognition, struggling in pain. The brutality of the cross is just unbearable, not to mention the weight of sin of the world that Jesus was carrying on his shoulder, his sense of being forsaken by his Father. Although none of us have experienced the kind of suffering that our Lord Jesus went through, we have all had our own share of pains and grief. All of us may relate to how difficult it is when we or others suffer. The difficulty of experiencing pain and grief. How we can so often be wrapped in and be lost in our own world. When we feel pain, it is often hard to look beyond the pain, to look beyond ourselves. It is often hard to care for others when our world is falling apart. And that's the reality of life. Because I can't help if I really need help. It's difficult. And that's the sense of the world in which we live. When our world is falling apart, it's quite difficult, most difficult, to think about the next door neighbor. But Jesus, although he's passing through serious pain in this place, and his needs are so overwhelming, he still looks beyond himself and sees the pain and the need of others. He sees a mother who is about to lose her oldest son, and he wants to make sure she is taken care of and looked after. It can become too easy to serve God and to overlook the needs of those whom God has entrusted to our care. Christ teaches us about this from the cross, to care for those in our families, be it the older parents, spouses, children, and others. So important is the family in the Bible that, again, even in our own society, that we are taught from the scripture that we are supposed to live within the church family as we live within our homes. The church is so much more than a building. The church is a family. We sing it. It's our spiritual family. We have the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us. We are never alone, even when we may feel alone. God is with us, Emmanuel, as we said it in December during the Christmas season. And someone nearby can be with you when you need them most. We have wide testimonies in our congregation, how in our congregation people have always stood side by side with each other in times of great challenges. And that is really what makes us a family. Families are made up of all kinds of people. Some are older, some are younger. We are spiritual relatives. And we could even say we are blood relatives. We are related through the blood of Christ that was shed upon the cross of Calvary. Jesus there brings all of us together, destroying any and every barrier that will keep us from coming home and being a family with each other. As a family, we are called to look after one another, to care for one another. It means that those who are older in the church are to serve as fathers and mothers and serve as mentors to those who are younger. We are called to honor and care for those who are older in the church and those with special needs. In this season of Lent, Jesus calls us to care for our family, to care for our broader spiritual family, and to value others above ourselves. Rick Warren, the author of The Purpose-Driven Life, writes, "True humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less." True humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. In this season, with all the challenges we face as individuals and as a nation, perhaps it might be a time to think a little bit less of ourselves and think also about the most vulnerable. In the course of the week, and with all the panic buying that we have in our shops, I've been thinking and wondering what would be the situation with our food bank. Even in times of plenty, we've had hundreds of people in our community and roundabout who have been in great difficulty facing challenges with food. And I just thought that this message from the cross is timely for us. With all the pains that Jesus was facing, he was still able to look down and care. And I'd like to invite us, as we continue to pray and trust the Lord for his intervention, that we should not forget those who are most vulnerable in our congregation and in our community. In his last moments of life, amidst the agony, Jesus notices Mary there. And instead of thinking about himself, he considers her need. We should never wonder if Jesus cares about any of us individually or collectively. He does. He demonstrates that personal concern on the cross. Isaac Watts, in 1707, wrote a hymn called The Greatest Hymn in English Language. It is the well-known hymn, "When I Surveyor the Wondrous Cross." Friends and family gathered here today, and for those who are listening to us via internet or worshiping with us through the CD, our response to Jesus' compassion, his love, his mercies, I suggest should be to surrender our souls, our life, and our all to him in the service of others. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. Our God is in control. He's in charge of our lives. He knows the end from the beginning. And his plans for us is that of good, not evil, to bring us to an expected end. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come to you this morning with thanks in our hearts for your love for us. We give thanks to you for the pain, the agony, and the sorrow that your son went through on our behalf. Help us today and in the days that lie ahead to replicate the same love, to show the same love, to share the same care and generosity among our family members, in our community, and in our wider world. We ask, O God, for your peace in our hearts, your peace that passes all human understanding, to keep us today and in the days that lie ahead. pray in Jesus' name. Amen.